Welcome, I'm Christina Michelle, inviting you to join me for Culture Rich Conversations, an ongoing feature of Juno Afternoon. February is Black History Month. We're excited to have some very special guests for the first episode of this important month. Today, we're sitting down with the Anchorage chapter of the NAACP. We'll discuss a number of issues concerning the Black community here in Alaska, from the inception of the NAACP to the importance of getting out the vote in communities of color, as well as what they hope to achieve this year and more. From KTOO in Juneau, this is Culture Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund grant program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Culture Rich Conversations on Juneau Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juneau homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
The Black Awareness Association would like to take a moment to recognize that Culture Rich Conversations is broadcast from Thlinkit Ani. We acknowledge those families who made use of this land and waterways for thousands of years and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and future generations. Gunalshish, thank you.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Today I'm having a conversation with the Anchorage chapter of the NAACP. They're here in the capital city this week to address the legislature about very important issues, and I'm excited that they took some time to join us here in the studio. Before we get started, let me introduce our guests. We have Mr. Edward Wesley, Ms. Cheryl Williams, and Mr. Marvin Jones. Thank you all for joining us today. It's an honor and a privilege to have you. So I'd love for each of you to share a little bit about your work with the NAACP and anything that you would like to tell our listeners. Mr. Wesley, let's start with you.
I'm a former president of the Anchorage branch. The Anchorage branch of the NAACP was formed September the 7th, 1951. It was formed because of an incident that occurred in the 1950s. A family, the Campbell family, Mr. Alvin Campbell, was attempting to build a home in Rogers Park subdivision when it was burned down. And so as a result of that, citizens of the community organized to fight for his rights. And therefore, we ended up with the Anchorage branch of NAACP.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That's an incredible story. Thank you. And some of our listeners may recall that Mr. Wesley was a guest on our show a few weeks ago when we talked about getting out the Black vote in Alaska. And so it's a pleasure to have you back here. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Ms. Williams.
Hi. Cheryl Cox Williams. I am the current secretary of the Anchorage branch and your president-elect for the next year or so. I'm a retired Army veteran, and the work of the NAACP is a natural extension for me and my family for serving our community. And social justice, education, and equal opportunities for all is something that our family's roots are deeply embedded in.
Excellent. And how did you get to Anchorage?
Oh, the Army dropped me off.
Okay.
Yeah, this was my last duty station at Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson. I'm the graduating class of 2012 of retirees from the U.S. Army.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Welcome. And Mr. Jones.
Hi. My name is Marvin Jones. I am the president of Unite Here, Local 878. We are a union that represent workers in the hospitality and culinary throughout the state of Alaska. I'm a delegate for the NAACP, and that's why I'm here, part of the NAACP.
Okay. Well, thank you. Again, we're so happy to have you here today. So let's start from the beginning for those who are not familiar with what the NAACP, who the NAACP is, what work you guys do, what it stands for. So what does the acronym stand for?
It is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, founded in 1909. In New York, just under 500 chapters across the country.
Wow.
And I will let the president address two of the primary issues that have been at the forefronts in our community across the country. Okay. Police brutality and voting.
Okay.
And so the president can address some of the things, the president-elect, some of the things that she think that would benefit those issues that we're focusing on.
Okay. Before we get into that, I want to lay a little bit more of a foundation for those who are not familiar with the NAACP at all. I imagine that there's some people who are listening who have never heard of the NAACP. And so if we can get a little bit more history about how it began or what you know of how it began. So it began in the early 1900s. Mm-hmm. I know you said the Anchorage chapter began in 1951. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you can share about just kind of the history and the progression of the work over time that NAACP has
done? Yeah, in 1908, I believe there was a race riot in Springfield, Illinois. And as a result of that, this is why the organizations were formed to fight against lynching. There was quite a few lynchings that took place in that year. The organization has been successful fighting cases before the Supreme Court. We have a director office in Congress to represent us at all times. The organization was a part of the Big Six that brought about the Voters' Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. The Big Six were those foremen, his organization, CORE, SNCC, Urban League, NAACP, SCLC, and those were the organization, the Big Six, that worked together to advance our cause across the country.
Okay, thank you. And what would you say is the mission of the NAACP, if you were to sum it up in maybe a sentence or two?
Well, I'm going to just go direct to what our mission statement is.
Okay.
You know, it's we have every intent that our mission is to achieve the equity and the political rights and social inclusion by advancing all the policies and practices that expand human and civil rights, eliminating discrimination and accelerating the well-being, the education and economic security of Black people and all people of color. That looks and seems different in all communities, and that's why we have our individual branches, so that the branches can be in tune with what each community needs. And here in Alaska, we get to really tease that out, because what works in Anchorage might not work in Fairbanks and definitely wouldn't work in Sitka.
Wow, that's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. Grassroots is where the action happens. And for us to be in tune is why we're here, to meet with the 33rd Alaska Legislative Session. You know, we want these legislators to really get to see what their constituents want with the face-to-face. We've been locked away with COVID for a couple of years now, and it's really important for us to get back to the business of interacting with each other.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So if you can share with us what you can about the work that you're doing here in Juneau this week.
We do have a packed agenda.
Okay.
And it has been to push forward some of our positions. And our positions are teased from what National had in their resolutions back in October. So we are concerned about equitable birth and health outcomes. As we mentioned before, voter suppression and voter nullification laws are on the top of our list. And discretionary lending practices that are rampant in our communities. And for education, we're supporting early Head Start as a universal subsidized pre-kindergarten program. And locally, as in Alaska Local, we are supporting the Juneteenth becoming a paid Alaska state holiday. And we support making grants for nonprofits, grassroots organizations that are doing reading programs. We know reading is fundamental, and it's very, very important for communities that are being placed in the margins. We also support an increase in what's called the base student allocation, but we would like to go a little deeper. We'd like to see more diversity in the teachers and administration, and we would like to press for smaller class sizes.
Mm. Okay, can you take us through each one of those points and give us some more information and let us know, like for those who have never, who don't even know that these are issues that need to be addressed, can you tell us why they're relevant?
Relevance. Let me just hang on that as a word right now. So it is relevant to understand that if we don't understand our history, we will be definitely geared up to repeat it. Mm. And understanding and appreciating the relevance of Juneteenth being acknowledged. What happened was everyone heard that there was an Emancipation Proclamation, but it took several months for it to get to the folks in Texas. And that is something that we do with communication to this day. Only a few people hear about it. Not everyone gets the information, and definitely not in a timely manner. Juneteenth marks a moment in time, but as you have learned and continue to learn about events that surround our community and our history, it's not just that moment. We are celebrating several other champions that brought us to that place, several other structural things in a system that brought us to that place, and several other legacies that are a result of that place. So relevance, again, like everything, I sound like a politician, everything will have to have its context. And reading is fundamental. There is no job I'm going to get. There's no skill I'm going to acquire. Right now, English is the language of the policies, of the politics, and of the ruling group. If I can't read, I don't know what you're telling me, and I'm not going to be able to expand on it. I'm not going to be able to compound it in a way that's positive for myself. And early learning ties directly into that. For our students to be successful, they have to have a mastery. But as a mother and grandmother, not just reading, but reading for comprehension. Mm. And it takes a very thoughtful community, family, and teachers to make sure that is grounded into our young people.
Thank you. And one of the first things that you mentioned was about equitable birth. Can you say more about that?
Well, again, I'm leaning on myself as a reference for this response because of my three births that I had. I was in three very different places financially and as well as connected to my healthcare network. So when a young person finds themselves pregnant, what was the information they had about their own bodies prior to that? How were they maintaining their own physical health? And then knowing that during a pregnancy that there are other systems of your body that are going to change and how you nourish that body and nourish that unborn love that's in your body at that time. So there's education that many young people don't have because of socioeconomic situations. And as a result, we could have, you know, alcohol affect a birth. We could have drugs affect a birth. We could have the kind of work that you're engaged in affect a birth. We could have the environment that you live in affect the birth. And then those children come into the world already not prepared for it physically and will be strained mentally to cope.
Thank you. If you're just now joining us, this is Christina Michelle, and this is Culture Rich Conversations, and I'm having a conversation with the Anchorage chapter of the NAACP. So if you can just share a little bit about what, like the process that you guys go through when you come to meet with the legislatures, what that looks like. And Mr. Wesley, I'll ask you to share.
So basically, we come together as a branch and you create a delegation that you would send down to Juneau. And what we did this time is arrange to have a reception. The first day we went to the floor and was introduced on the floor. And that evening we had a reception over at the Baranoff. And gave all the legislators an invitation. The next morning, we had a breakfast with the BIPOC legislators. And just recently, from just an hour or so ago, we met with the staff of the legislators. It is so important that we establish relationships so that when you call to Juneau, and most of the time you are talking to a staffer, mm-hmm. And so we wanted to meet with them. We wanted to know what bills that their representative was pushing. We will take that information back, and some of those bills we will get behind and support. Some of those bills we will have their representatives come and speak before our branch so that we are informed constituents. For Alaskans, one of the things that that took place in our staffers meeting was the staffers was using the language that they use, and I had to bring them back to us being Alaskan citizens. No Republican, no Democrat, no left, no right, just citizens. And I think that's what all citizens want. We live in inclement climate, and there's a need for us to have the ability to work with each other and understand each other and take care of each other. And so that was important to us to explain that to them, that we're here as citizens, and we want you to promote legislations for citizens because we all have to live together.
Thank you, Mr. Wesley. Would you like to add anything additional to that?
It was a delightful opportunity to see what happens when we finally get around the proverbial table. Because as the staffers were sharing, sure enough, more than one office was working on a similar bill. So wouldn't it just be absolutely you know, that boss move, that they get together and do that thing that we're encouraging all of us to do, which is to sit and just talk with each other and find out what your similar goals and aspirations are. And get out there and talk to your constituents before you start proposing things and find out what your constituents want with their own words. It's not just I'm a representative or I'm an advocate. I'm a fellow member of your community is the message that we want to make sure we leave ringing in their ears.
Excellent. Well, I'm Christina Michelle. This is Culture Rich Conversations, and we are going to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with the Anchorage chapter of the NAACP. We'll be right back.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Before we went to break, our guests, Edward Wesley, Cheryl Williams, and Mr. Marvin Jones, gave us an overview of the history of the NAACP and the work that they're doing here in Juneau with the legislatures this week. So we're just going to continue this conversation here. And I would love to hear a little bit about the job and workforce development initiative that NAACP is involved in. Mr. Jones, would you care to speak to that? Not to put you on the spot.
Sure. I think one of the things is that the labor movement and the NAACP have in common is that they help balance the power in our economy and democracy. You know, whether you're a union member or not, unions help increase the wage gap for women, workers of color. One of the things that labor has always fought for, better wages, reasonable hours, safer working conditions. The labor movement, you know, led the effort to stop child labor, to give health and health benefits, and to provide workers, with retirement. Obviously, the labor movement created a middle class in this country that, you know, that American dream of having a two-car garage, one parent working, so someone could take care to raise the kids, be able to send our family to college. I mean, the labor movement created all that. So one of the things that I think that the NAACP and the labor movement definitely have in common is moving Americans forward, in a sense, for fighting for those things that I just listed. And so I'm, you know, from a kid hearing about the work that the NAACP has done and obviously being affected in my life, coming from the Midwest and my family working in union shops, I just happened to fall into the position I am today. Things just continue to evolve, and I strongly believe in both. And so we have a place here. Starting back in 1938, one of the biggest crowning achievement with the labor movement was the signing of the Fair Labor Standard Act, which it guaranteed a minimum wage, an 8-hour workday, 40-hour work week, and overtime pay. It was all because of the labor movement. So obviously there's a relationship with what the labor movement fights for people, for better livelihoods, and what the NAACP does.
Excellent. Thank you so much. So I'm going to touch a little bit on a subject that we talked about before that I had mentioned about getting out the Black vote in Alaska and why it's so important to talk about that and to do that, because we did get a lot of feedback from our listeners after that show that we had Mr. Wesley on. And I was wondering if you all would like to share a little bit about what voter suppression is and how we see those things happening in Alaska.
Ed Wesley, I think that there is something that has been occurring in our community that is voter suppression, but that we don't even think that much of. Setting up early voting and having it from 8 to 5 or 9 to 5 is not conducive to a working person, especially if it is a single parent that has children and working two jobs. You're doing 8 to 5, you just don't have time to go to vote. And so that's somewhat of voter suppression. We're not making it easy for the lower income to vote. And so we need to change that. Voting locations. Where are the voting stations are? If you don't have a vehicle and the voting is downtown, you're not having access to voting. And so it is those type of things that we are here to encourage our legislators to work on, to make sure that access is to voting is a priority. Having those voter stations in your neighborhood is critical to voting.
And have we seen examples of voter suppression, or can you think of examples here in Alaska where voter suppression has affected the Black vote? And the reason I ask is because a lot of people think that it's not really a thing, especially in this day and age, and especially not here in Alaska, because we don't have a large Black population. And so they're thinking, like, this is not necessarily an issue here in our state.
And let me address it this way.
Okay.
If you are in a certain geographical area and your numbers are higher, then you are more of the targets. Let me just give you an example of what I thought was voter suppression that just took place in November. In a neighborhood in Mountain View, you had to pass a voter station to go to another voter station. That makes no sense to me. In Mountain View, is the way it was set up, that you went from one end of the, right past a voting station to go to another voting station. Does that make sense?
No.
That makes no sense whatsoever. That is voter suppression, to do something like that. Why not have it right near your home, closer? That took place in Mountain View this past election.
Okay. So that's so interesting that you say that, because after that episode, when I went to vote where I live, I went to the poll that was closest to me, which is right down the street from my house. And they said, no, you're actually registered to vote, like, across the bridge and like downtown versus like right next door to me. Wow. Which made no sense to me. And they said, you can vote here, but your vote, they said it won't count, quote unquote, like it'll be counted like at the end with some, I don't know, the way that they explained it just wasn't, it wasn't what I wanted to do. And so I ended up having to go almost like across town to vote when I didn't understand that. And so I was talking to my sister about it, and she's like, that's voter suppression. And I was like, oh, is that what it looks like?
Was that because of the your voter station change?
I'm not even sure. I don't know. I went where I went the last time. And so I don't, like, I have no idea.
Did you move?
I had not moved.
Oh, wow.
No. So I don't know why. But I never thought, I didn't think of it as voter suppression. I thought of it as an inconvenience. And I was thankful that I had enough time to still get to the other poll before it closed. But that sounds like an example of, like on a smaller scale, of what people are experiencing when their vote is suppressed.
Well, now that's exactly what we're here to highlight. Take a step back from where you are and imagine that mother that asked for time off from work and she only had, you know, she traded her lunch hour and made it the end of the day so she could scurry, get the kids situated with a family member because, you know, there's no more money in the budget for daycare for just this other thing, you know, or they had never voted before. And if this was my first experience, I want no part of it. What did the person at the voting station present? Did they present as someone that looked like them? Did they present empathy? Did they present being knowledgeable and teaching you a process? We need education again. Education that we can have our own voting stations. We can mobilize and request those, but do we know the process to do that? Do we have our own people being voted in? Do we have our folks learning that they can be polling station workers as well? Mm-hmm. Just that rudimentary is the problem that we are in right now. And it's over and over again in every community. Now, when we say Black leads the pack when it comes to getting into the messy situations. You know, it was the NAACP and the other organizations in 1960 plus that galvanized to push it forward. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't occurring earlier. You know, we're not looking for those gross abuses of power. Mm. It's these subtle ones. You can't vote here if you didn't have an address 30 days ago. Well, I'm transitional housing. I just came out of one of the many systems that kept me from having permanent housing to have an address. I just came out of foster care, right? I'm now 18. I want to exercise my vote. My list can go on and on, but I literally have to repeat this list to you because you don't really give it much thought in your day to day. And that's no hit against you. But if you're a decision maker, it's a hit against you for you to start thinking about asking for a mailing address, asking for rent receipt when I'm getting a voucher and the money goes directly to so-and-so, or the 80% of the people that are on the cusp that are couch surfing and their mail goes to mama's house or something. You know, we are in the trenches wanting you to know what it's like, not for some kind of come save me, but make your decision based on situation. Have the proper context for when you decide to recommend something or make a change or change a polling station. Because if it's not in dog walking distance, that's not a good location. It's where do you put things at schools, at churches? Those are known community places. Those are known places for communities that are losing if they had any trust in government. So when you continue to move things and make a change the week before I'm supposed to vote, I go to the place I went the last time.
Yeah.
And you can advertise bad news, but you can't find out about a polling change that affects a community. So the way we use our resources, especially the resource called money, is very deliberate. And it seems that someone will get amnesia when it's time to do something very rudimentary, very fundamental. And that's what makes it frustrating and makes our work even more important.
Yeah.
Here in Alaska has a history of voter suppression. Alaska was one of the 13 states that required the preclearance in the Voters' Rights Act. In 2014, the Supreme Court in Shelby versus Alabama reversed that and removed that Section 5 of the Voters' Rights Act And I heard the argument that Alaska shouldn't be a part of that now because we haven't had those type of incident that we had in the past. And my response to that is we have a speed limit. Just because we put that speed limit in, now we just take it back since people not speeding as much as they were. No, you don't, because they're going to go back to their old habits. And so here in Alaska, we need to stay focused on voting because Alaska has some history. We're here in Juneau. We don't have the death penalty here in Alaska because two black men that was murdered here in Juneau in late 40s. So we don't have the death penalty here in the state of Alaska because of those two black men that was killed here in Juneau, in our capital.
Really?
So we have history. And so what we are fighting against now is individuals that want to make it easier for me to get a gun than to get a book, to give a book to read about that history. Individuals are pushing that we don't read the history of what has occurred. And if you support that, we're going to go back to some times that we don't want to. We want to advance this nation the way Dr. King stated in 1957. He said, give us the ballot. We would elect elected officials that would change the direction of this country. Right now, we are a multicultural society. We want to move this nation to a multicultural democracy. We cannot get the democracy until we get the vote. And once we get that, then we can build what we want, what is known as a beloved community, a community where people are looking after each other. People are seeing each other for what the benefit that they can bring to the society to help all of us. And I go back to this statement that I make all the time, and that is, out of the 7 billion people in the world, we all have individual DNA. God made each and every one of us special. And so we should look at individuals and seek to find that humanity in them where they make that contribution to our society.
Thank you, Mr. Wesley. I'm going to ask you, just you mentioned Dr. King a moment ago, and that reminds me of a question that we wanted to talk about with you all. A couple weeks ago, we did an episode on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the holiday, and our intention was to bring youth onto the show and to talk about, you know, continuing the work of Dr. King and, you know, what they're learning in school and how they apply that. And we found out that in the state of Alaska, there is no curriculum that actually teaches about Black history, about the civil rights movement, doesn't mention Dr. King and the work that he did. And we were shocked. Heartbroken and shocked probably were even emotions that we felt. And then I thought, you know, as I was talking to Natasha, our producer, I was like, well, you know, this is how it's been for a long time. Just because we just learned about it doesn't make it worse, right? It's already been happening. But I was wondering if you have any thoughts on that, because now the question is, you know, how do we change that? Do we change that, or do we take matters into our own hands and just step up the education of our children at home and in our communities? And so can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes, I would like to speak to that. There are generally three standards of conduct in a society. There's the legal conduct that we legislate, and there are punitive things that would happen if you violate that. The next standard is ethical conduct. We normally get that from corporations and certain businesses. The one that is needed is moral conduct. And moral conduct will come from your religious organizations and from individuals, because this is something that is imposed on you, impose your that yourself. No one has to tell you that this is what you do. You do that by your own standards. There's a void in America right now on moral conduct. We need religious leaders to be in the public square talking about moral conduct, how we conduct ourselves. That is so, so important. And we don't see that now. Mm. I used to see columns in the newspaper where religious organizations would have a column, or pastors, and they would be speaking about certain things about this, that. You don't see that anymore. We need religious leaders to be in the public square. Come from behind your pulpits in your sanctuaries and organizations that you have, and come out in the public and address the issues. People are saying, well, that person is lying. That person is telling a lie. And it doesn't mean anything, because we don't have that moral conduct that's being imposed.
I'll keep that line of thought going, because, again, what is black when it comes to deciding what decisions get made? And I say that because the African diaspora on every part of the globe that we're in, we tend to be trailblazers. We're trailblazers in getting our rights. We will, if we're in bondage, we're the ones who are going to break the chains. If we are looking to vote, we're going to fight for it. If we need social justice, we're going to fight for it. It doesn't stop at our community or our phenotype. Any community that's placed in the margins will benefit from the work that the Black community does. We have, when the Asian community was attacked outright, they came to the Black community for some tips and tricks on how do we get it right. So it's not a Black thing. It's anyone who is placed in the margins and their rights are being impeded. That's comparing, if anyone remembers anything about the mines, they used to send a canary into the mine. And if the canary died, nobody went in. Mm. If the canary came out healthy, now it's safe to go in. Unfortunately, that is our legacy. Mm. Anything that's painful or tested that will hurt has been placed on us. We have bared through it. And it's so important for that our neighbors and our children don't forget what we've gone through. And it's not asking for Black history. It's asking for a complete record of history. There's not a need to tease anything out. What Martin Luther King and those that went before him did is important and should be remembered for the benefits that we've all gotten from that experience. Anybody who does not know their history will repeat it.
A good example of what Ms. Williams was speaking of, the 1964 Civil Rights Act has 11 provisions. Title VII benefited women. Before 1964, only 3% of lawyers in America were women. After the Civil Rights Act, women have benefited greatly from that. And so women in general have benefited from the work of the Civil Rights Movement.
Yes. I'm going to ask a little question about a recent event, just to switch gears a little bit, because of the time. And there's so much more that I want you guys to say and that I want to ask. But can we talk about Tyre Nichols for a moment? Just getting your thoughts on police brutality. And I, just for those who have not heard and don't know about this, Tyree Nichols was a young man who was tragically killed by five police officers in Memphis when he was trying to go home to his mother's house. Millions of Americans and many people around the world witnessed his final moments after the police video was released to the public. Thousands protested across America following the release of this footage, and his killing has been compared to the horrific beating of Rodney King. I'm wondering what your thoughts are regarding the continued reality for Black Americans experiencing police brutality.
I would let Ms. William address what I believe is a remedy.
Okay.
Through the George Floyd Policing Act. Mm. But I want to make this point. Years ago, individuals highlighted the drugs in the Black community. And they were not thinking that this could come to their communities. They just focused all these drugs in the Black community. Then it shifted. Mm. Of course, they changed the language once it shifted in that community. The same thing will occur with the police officers, because if you allow police officers to take a life, don't think for a minute that that attitude will not come to you someday. It may come in another form. Mm. You just do not want people representing you and your tax dollars acting like that. So I'll let Mrs. William address what we believe is a remedy that's in federal legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Wesley.
Yeah, you're talking to the mother of two Black men, and they're strong and they're tall, and they think about what they wear when they go out the door, because they're going to be treated on the way that they look. I'm also the grandmother of an Indigenous young man. So how does this work when we say we want body cams? It seems pretty simple and straightforward, and our branch has been pushing for that for quite some time now. But the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act will spell out the standards that we will be expecting from our law enforcement officers. And this is coming with my heart bleeding right now, because I'm retired Army. And most of my friends that wear the uniform would never, ever condone this behavior. But that does not mean that I would not want them to also be under the same fiduciary necessities for how our law enforcement is supposed to behave. And I heard a most horrifying story of EMT are also getting into, you know, not responding to certain communities or not giving the treatment on the spot that they would as per their procedures. So this is far reaching, that we will start with the police, but it goes to any public service branch that is supposed to be taking care of health and welfare. And the list of the young that we have, it turns out it's not complete. Mm. There are more that have happened right here in Alaska that didn't make the news. And again, we'll start with the African diaspora, but any Alaska Native that has gone missing or has been mistreated while in custody before they even got to their court dates, or the ridiculous amount of time it takes to get to a court date, but you feel that it's fair and reasonable to retain a person in your cell. So we are definitely pushing for the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. We will, we're teasing out that the police will not be exempt from the limits of the law. And this immunity will not be the case, and that the Department of Justice will have a subpoena power to make sure that these investigations are done correctly. And this framework is designed to prevent and remedy racial profiling. Mm. by law enforcement. But my favorite part, and that would be a personal, is cultural competency, is also wording here that they need to understand who they're interacting with. And that will become an accreditation part of law enforcement agents. That is a huge boon for us.
Wow. Thank you so much. As we close out this segment, is there anything else that you would like to say that we haven't talked about, or anything that you would like to go to add to?
Yeah. So there's one more national act that we would like to get support for, and that's the John R. Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. And we've talked quite a bit about how we feel about that already. But for everyone that's listening, to get in touch with their representatives, whether it's your representative or your senator, to let them know how important it is to push that up to those that vote at the national level, because that is one of those things that the trickle down from that will be impactful. Because as Mr. Wesley had mentioned, there's several parts of this act that refer to bad behavior in the past will not be tolerated. So 15 or more voting rights violations that have occurred in a state during the previous 25 years. And I say, someone asked me, what does 25 years have to do with anything? That person's and persons that put that together, they're still around. That is not a generation change in mindset. We're looking at 30 to 40 years for there to be a generational mindset. So 25 years says those that were 18 and those that were 50 are still around. And if that bad behavior occurred before, we have the tendency to repeat it. So we want to make sure that kind of like your credit report, you do right.
Thank you so much. If our listeners want to reach out to the NAACP, how can they get in contact with you?
Our website, we are at naacp.org, is our national website. And we have a secretary.anchorage, naacp@gmail.com. We'll get in touch with us. That's a legacy email, and we will get that information from you.
Okay. Excellent. Mr. Wesley?
I think what I would leave with you is those individuals that we encounter in our community that profess to be Christians, I will say to you, I will know you by your love. I will know you by your love, not by your division, not by your hate. I will know you by your love.
Thank you. I want to thank each of my guests from the NAACP Anchorage chapter, Mr. Edward Wesley, Ms. Cheryl Williams, and Mr. Marvin Jones, for joining us this afternoon. It's been a pleasure. And we're just so honored that you took the time to come and to be in the studio with us today. And we hope that you will come back again soon. And I hope that you enjoy the rest of your time here in the Capital City.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle, and we'll be right back.
And grass. Ka eat with the shu yi, we kashuk a yi tin. Jin kat ka ke jin talk anakaya ha ani kak gunish cheese.
Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle. Today in Black History, we celebrate Eric Holder. On February 2, 2009, the United States Senate confirmed Mr. Eric Holder as U.S. Attorney General, making him the very first African American in our nation to hold that post. Mr. Holder had previously served as a Superior Court Judge for the District of Columbia, as well as a United States Attorney. He also worked for the NAACP Legal Defense, Defense and Educational Fund and also served as Deputy Attorney General in former President Clinton's administration. We recognize Mr. Holder for his many years of service to the American people and for his groundbreaking contribution to Black history. We appreciate you for listening today, and we look forward to hearing any feedback you have. You already have our email address, junobaa@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Facebook. Today's producer was Natasha Boozer. We'll meet again next week, and in the meantime, may your life be blessed and flow with ease. I'm Christina Michelle, and this has been Culture Rich Conversations.
Culture Rich Conversations is made possible by a grant from the Social Justice Fund grant program of the Alaska Community Foundation.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture Rich.